Thank you, Brother August and Brother Tim. Good evening to all. And we're very appreciative of the Wilmington Chesapeake Brethren for permitting an evening where we can have some joint voices. And certainly we've been very well fed today, but we actually ask a few more brethren to serve us this evening in the way of using their voices. In the booklet that you may have in front of you, we hope there's one for each of you. You'll see we have some readings, some poems, and some hymns. And we're asking in the readings and the poems have been already assigned, but the hymns we would like each of you to join in, except for the very last hymn, the very last page. Were you there? We're going to have a solo. So that one we're asking you not to join in. So the very last page is a hymn, but we only want the particular singer to sing the solo. So there's a mic in front. If you would, please come up and use the mic in the center of the room. And just kind of watch the pages. And when it comes to your page, if you would work your way up to the microphone, that would be wonderful. So when it's your turn, we hope to see you and hear you. And if not, I may say something. So you don't want that. And, well, let's begin with the first hymn, Remember Me.
Should we celebrate? Others still hold that it is not proper to celebrate the Eucharist since we discern that the real spiritual significance of the Last Supper is our partaking of the merit of our Lord's sacrifice by faith, feeding on Him in our hearts. In our consecration to be broken with Him in the service of the truth, and to drink with him the cup of suffering and self-denial for the truth's sake. Seeing these realities, they hold that we should no longer perform the symbol of these by commemorating our dear Redeemer's death. as he commanded all of his followers should do, saying, eat ye all of it, drink ye all of it. And as the apostles did and taught the early church to do. Surely such renouncements of the beautiful and simple symbols which our Lord left us is not taught of God and cannot be sustained by his word. It is the great adversary who thus would seduce us from the simplicity and obedience which is pleasing to the Lord and acceptable to all the meek. Let us who have been taught of God adhere closely to his teachings, as presented in the scriptures, ignoring on the one hand a tendency toward formalism and idolatry, and on the other hand a tendency to lean to their own understanding and wisdom, and to ignore the simple and meaningful observations which the Lord has commanded. No other course is either reasonable or safe. Reprints 2387.
With Christ apart. Have you and I today stood silent as with Christ apart from joy or fray of life, to see his face, to look, if but a moment, at its grace and grow? By brief companionship more true, more nerve to lead, to dare, to do for him at any cost? Have we today found time in thought, our hand to lay in his, and thus compare his will with ours, and wear the impress of his wish? Be sure, such contact will endure throughout the day, and will help us walk erect through storms and flood, detect within the hidden life sin's dross its stains, revive our thoughts of love for him again, steady the steps which waver, help us see the footpath meant for you and me. From Poems of the Way.
Prophet like unto Moses. As our Passover, Christ is the prophet like unto Moses. When the Passover was instituted, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. There is an adequate reason for this. The life which man derives through the first Adam is condemned, and God has never entered into covenant with man on the basis of condemnation. In the institution of and observance of the Passover, the people were typically passed over from death unto life. Their physical lives were preserved when others were destroyed, and that preservation is a type of a more widely extended and enduring one. In the treatment of the Passover lamb, there are at least two points which ought to be specifically noted.
First, as to the blood, they shall take the blood and strike it. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And the blood shall be for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Exodus 12:1-128. Very early the eating of the blood was prohibited. Flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Genesis 9:4. This prohibition was frequently repeated, and a specific reason assigned for it. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17:11. The shedding and sprinkling of the Passover blood is a striking figure of the giving life for life. The requirement of divine justice before the condemned could be justified. It was only a figure, however, and the reality came afterwards. For as much as ye know that ye were not condemned with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:18-19. The other point is as to the flesh. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and he shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover.
Through the blood sprinkling or blood shedding, the life of the Israelites was preserved. But the wilderness journey was before them, and they had to eat of the flesh as well. This feature, too, is a striking figure of the Lamb of God, our Passover. Through the shedding of his precious blood, we have life. But that is not all. The journey of life has to be pursued. The enemies of life have to be overcome. The work of life has to be accomplished. And the discipline of life has to be perfected. In all this, there is wear and tear, weariness and exhaustion. But our strength is renewed by heavenly food. Our Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. John 6:27-58. From reprint, 1321.
Passover, proving, the cup my Father pours, shall I not drink? And precious holy thoughts, shall I not think? And if his love doth send less joy than pain, and if all friends forsake, shall I complain? If foes misrepresent and work me woes, shall I not rest content, since Father knows? If where once a friend I had, I Judas find, still Jesus holds me in his love entwined. He knew the love and loss, a faithless friend. He'll know each step I take unto the end. His love enfolds me fast, I cannot fall. The cup my Father pours, I'll drink it all.
The blood for a token. God said to the children of Israel on that dark night down in Egypt that the blood should be to them for a token. And when he should see the blood, he would pass over. You will remember that the firstborn in all the houses in Egypt were to be killed. But God was going to pass over every house where the blood was upon the doorposts and lintels. What blood? The blood of the Lamb. They were to be perfectly safe if the blood was there, for God had said it. Read carefully the account in Exodus 12. The Lamb's blood pointed to Jesus' blood, to be shed long years after. And just as the children of Israel were perfectly safe on the dark night, sheltered by the blood of the Lamb, so everyone sheltered by the blood of God's Lamb, Jesus, is just as safe as in the presence of God. As many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Selected reprint 572.
No cross, no crown. The purple grape must be crushed to make the sweet red wine, and furnace fires must fiercely burn the drossy gold to refine. The wheel must cruelly grind, else where the jewels light, and the steel submit to the polishing, or how would the sword grow bright? How then, my soul, wilt thou the Spirit's fruits possess, except thou lovingly yield thyself to the hand that wounds to bless? Then patiently let the fire consume all earthly dross, thou canst not hope to wear the crown if thou refuse the cross. Reprint page 5532.
Our resurrection. Had we been there, beloved Lord, when on that night you knelt with anguished prayer upon our lips, would we your grief have felt, had we been there? Had we been there, O precious Lord, when traveling Calvary's road, you fell beneath the cross you bore, would we have borne the load, had we been there? That early morn, would we have gone and sought thy sacred tomb, that we might thus anoint thee there with spice and sweet perfume, that early morn? What joy is ours, for thou art raised, and never mort shall die. Thy blood was shed that we might live, thy name we glorify, what joy is ours. We'll follow on, the call is clear for all to consecrate, a life anew in us begun, all else do we forsake, we'll follow on. Then raise with him when life is o'er, a crown for every cross. What resurrection joy we'll know when gain for every loss, when raised with him, Poems of the Way.
The Church and the Passover. Our critic is in error in supposing that we claim that the Church is any part of the Passover sacrifice. We hold, on the contrary, that the Passover lamb found its antitype in our Lord alone. This is in harmony with the words, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, 1 Corinthians 5. The Passover lamb was prepared whole, not a bone being broken. It thus represented our Lord alone and not his members, the church. On the contrary, in one of the Atonement Day sacrifices, the ram of the burnt offering was cut into pieces and the parts washed and then laid with the head on the altar, thus representing Christ and his members separately, yet unitedly, offered up to God, the members under the merit of the head.
The Passover was not for all the people, but only for the firstborn. This symbolized, therefore, the work of Christ for the church of this gospel age, which is elsewhere designated the church of the firstborn. Evidently, the church has no share in her own deliverance, which is entirely a work of grace and love divine. As the passing over of the firstborn of Israel led to the making of the law covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai, so the passing over of the church of the firstborn during this gospel age leads to the inauguration of the new covenant for the blessing of natural Israel and the world, Moses representing the Christ, head and body, which God is selecting from amongst mankind during this gospel age, became the mediator of the law covenant. And he took the blood of a bullock and a goat and sprinkled the book of the law, representing God or divine justice, and subsequently sprinkled the people, thus binding God and the people by that covenant. The blood of the antitypical bullock, Jesus, and of the antitypical goat, the church, will both together seal the new law covenant. The antitype will soon be here. The raising up of the antitypical Moses, the antitypical mediator, will soon be accomplished. Reprint 43:35.
Before you he trod all the path of woe. He took the sharp thrust with his head bent low. He knew deepest sorrow and pain and grief. He knew long endurance without relief. He took all the bitter from death's deep cup. He kept not a blood drop, but gave all up before you. And for you he won the fight to bring you to glory and to the realms of light.
until he come. When we celebrate the Lord's memorial supper, we show forth his death until he come, until at his coming he changes, glorifies us, setting us up as his kingdom, 1 Corinthians 11:26. We are using our talents until he come, Luke 19:13. We are fighting the good fight of faith until he come, 1 Timothy 6:12 14. We are enduring tribulation until he come, 2 Thessalonians 1:7. We are to be patient until he come, James 5:8. We wait for the crown of righteousness until he come, 2 Timothy 4:8. We wait for the crown of glory until he come, 1 Peter 5:4. We wait for reunion with departed friends until he come, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 18. We wait for Satan to be bound until he come, Revelation 23. Until he come, then, does not point to a special moment, hour, or day, but to the period of his presence, parousia, during which his harvest work will gather and glorify his saints and establish his promised kingdom. Reprint 3652.
His gentle hands. As Mary held the tiny babe so close, she felt the joy of love that now could be expressed. So soft the fingers curled about her own, tenderly she held them and lovingly caressed his gentle hands. At 12 he sought the temple all alone, for now, with all the law, he knew he must comply. But Mary searched for him with sorrowing, not understanding then his need, but took him by his gentle hands. His life, though short, was spent in doing good. In a world so filled with pain, with simple trust, the sick, the blind, the lame, all came to him. In deep compassion of his soul, he healed with just his gentle hands. But jealous men took counsel for his life. A traitor midst his own disciples they had found, who sold him like a common slave for price. They came by night and took him, and with cords they bound his gentle hands. Do you go with him through that fearful night, when e'en before the first soft light of morning came, they placed upon his head a crown of thorns and scourged him sore? Oh, did you see the blood that stained his gentle hands? Did you go with him to Golgotha's hill and see the sadness deep within his eyes so true? And did you see those nails so cruel and cold, as one by one they pierced his flesh and drove them through his gentle hands? At last, like hammers, dreadful sounds were stilled. They lifted up that heavy cross against the sky, while people passing by would mock him sore. In agonizing grief and shame he hung there by his gentle hands. But did you see the love within his eyes, enduring though his body, racked with pain, grew numb, a love so deep we cannot comprehend? And did you weep to see those blood drops falling from his gentle hands? Oh, did you hear him give that anguished cry? Then suddenly the sun grew dark, the air was chilled. My God, oh, why hast thou forsaken me? 'Twas finished then, released from pain, relaxed and stilled his gentle hands. Mary looked at him with tearful eyes, in anguish of her heart that could not be repressed. She thought back to the child that she had borne, and how she'd held him close and lovingly caressed his gentle hands. Poems of the Way.
Thank you.
Gethsemane. Gethsemane, the garden's lonely shade the world's Redeemer sought that night. He went alone to pray for grace and strength to drink that last drop in his cup. Great souls crave solitude in sorrow's hour. Not even his well-beloved three might share the sacredness of that deep woe. He bade them tarry while he went a little farther on and fell upon his face. Gethsemane, a solitary place, apart, no mortal feet may press in sympathy that dark, encrimsoned earth. No human hand the fevered brow may cool. No other heart can share its agony. No voice but God's may break the solemn silence there, a place where every soul must drink alone the cup the Father's hand hath poured and given to his child. Gethsemane, a desert place, alone, apart? Ah, no. The anguished heart doth never cry in vain to him who marks the smallest sparrow when it falls, for he shall send his angel with the message, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will never forsake, nor let thee fail. My right hand shall uphold, my love, my power shall keep thee, even to the bitter end." Reprint 5208.
Gethsemane and Calvary. In far-off Palestine, there is a place whose history in time nor in eternity shall e'er be forgotten be. The Garden of Gethsemane, where we in memory tread the soil that Jesus' feet oft pressed and his tears hallowed. And when his work on earth was done, and he would soon depart and leave this unfriendly world, those dearest to his heart, he sought with them the solitude of that familiar place, and there, exceedingly sorrowful, bowed down with tear-stained face. In spirit, gladly, he had done his Father's righteous will, but had the oft-times weary flesh failed some jot to fulfill. By one man's disobedience, death passed upon all men, nor could the blood of many beasts cleanse them from inbred sin. God had, through Moses' law, decreed a corresponding price.
Therefore, the offerer must bring a perfect sacrifice. And fear of death, eternal death, encompassed him that night. Oh, would the cross thus banish him forever from God's sight, and leave the lost and dying world, which he had come to save, with never more ray of hope of life beyond the grave? And in that dark and lonely hour, without one pitying eye, thrice from his troubled heart there came the same despairing cry, "O Father, if 'tis possible, remove this cup from me. If not, except I drink of it, shall I not bow to thee?" Not Calvary's bitter pain or shame, the cup he prayed to shun, but endless death. Yet even so, thy will, not mine, be done. And oh, how worthless our lives seem as we behold him there, the Son of God, that speechless lamb in agonizing prayer.
Thank you. The heart-searching memorial is near the saddest and yet most glorious time of the year. It is so sad to think of a world causing such suffering to such a sinless man, and then rejoicing in that he was sinless and a ransom for all. Yes, it's sad and also glorious, for he will draw all men unto him, and all shall know him sometime and marvel at all the grace that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I also look further at the wonderful Jehovah God who made it all possible, whose voice came from heaven to strengthen his son and help him to go on until the final cry, "It is finished." The price was paid, the battle won. He had gone through the desert wild and bare and brought back his own. And there arose a cry from the gates of heaven, "Rejoice, I have found my sheep." Great and marvelous things hath he done for us, so that we can give unto God the glory due unto his name.
Whom will we serve? Whom will ye serve? If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth. John 19:12-13. Ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you. John 15:14. Caesar's friends or friends of Jesus? Solemn question for today. Friends of Caesar's, friends of Jesus, take your sides without delay. If ye pause for man's forbidding, Caesar's friendship ye secure. If ye do the Father's bidding, scorn, reproach, ye shall endure. Friends of Caesar, friends of Jesus, stand revealed, your choice declare. Who in truth two masters pleases, who may rival banners bear? Jesus' friends account him precious, lose for him all their gain. Dearer for the smile of Jesus than the praise of worldly men. Free from Caesar, friends of Jesus, stand in phalanx, never fear. Love severely tried increases, courage yet, the Lord is near. Onward still, his name confessing, weaving crowns to grace his brow. Lo, his hands are full of blessing, lifted for your succor now. Caesar's friends were we, but Jesus owns us for his friends today. What shall rival friendship please us while the bridegroom is away? No, through grace would we surrender Caesar's things to Caesar's care, whilst to God our God we render filial homage, praise, and power. Reprint 1013.
How often God's choice for us is seen to be an ugly cross, but as we look closer, we find in that cross a message of love and encouragement from our Father above. If we had lacked submission to the divine will, we should have turned away from that cross impatiently and have never read the blessed message it brought. It would have been but a cross, while now it is a treasure. The moral, examine each cross for its lessons. Pilgrim Echoes.
Thank you.
till he come. Dear Brother Russell, the apostle in writing about the Lord's Supper says, ye show forth the Lord's death till he come, 1 Corinthians 11:26. And the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me, evidently meaning, remember me in my absence. To me, the inference seems strong that the commemoration should now cease because the Lord is now present. What think you? Answer. A careful reading of Paul's words quoted above with the context fails to indicate to us any prohibition of the observance after the Lord has come and is present. On the contrary, the apostle's argument here is that when we break the loaf and so forth, we show forth our communion or participation with Christ in death as members of the one loaf, the one body. Hence, it is quite proper that we should, so long as we are in the flesh, and so long, therefore, as the sufferings of the body of Christ are not ended, and the measure of his afflictions not filled, it is both proper for us to fill them up and to share the cup and also to symbolize it. Concerning our Lord's words, do this in remembrance of me, we do not think he meant, remember me during my absence. He was present at the first supper, and it will be improper to remember his death except during his absence. It is equally improper to remember it before his absence. What Jesus did mean, we think, was this. The Passover as a type and a part of the law shall surely have a fulfillment. The fulfilling of it is now commencing. I am the antitype of the lamb that was slain and eaten, and every other feature must be fulfilled. The entire type will be fulfilled when the kingdom of God shall have fully been established, when you, all my disciples, who follow me as part of the firstborn, shall be passed over, delivered from death in the resurrection. Therefore, as oft as ye eat this, commemorate the Passover, look beyond the type, and realize in me the antitype of the Lamb. Do this in remembrance of me, and no longer in remembrance of the typical Lamb. Reprint 6:19.
If we've been there, if we had lived in Jesus' day, how faithful we'd have been. We'd not have slept, but vigil kept. If we'd been with him then. If we had lived in Jesus' day, his feet we would have washed. We'd not have waited for another upon him to attend.
And in his hour of trial and need, we near to him had been. When his forsook, we'd have remained so very near to him. When on his way to Calvary, we would have volunteered to aid him with the heavy load if we'd been there with him.
We cannot serve so personally, for he's no longer flesh, but risen now to heights divine, forever free from pain.
But even since he's glorified, his words do us instruct, as done to him, things done to his, so dear to him his own. To us the privilege doth remain, and we may do for him. By waking to the needs of his, still in the narrow way.
The feet of him are with us still, still weary travelers tread, and these we ever may refresh by living waters spread.
In helping with another's cross, our love we show for him, and thus he knows what we have done if we've been there with him. Poems of the Way.
Were you there? With
they crucified my Lord. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he raised up from the grave?
Thank you, brethren. What a lovely evening of voice, sharing of talents and expressions. Just to sit back here behind the podium to hear, and not really looking at the face of the person singing or speaking, but just to hear the expression coming from the heart. Beautiful. Thank you very much. You may keep your booklets, or you may just leave them on the table and I'll pick them up. But we appreciate the participation of all you dear ones this evening.